Welcome to the deep dive. So we're jumping into something pretty fascinating today. A real paradox, actually. You've got Salesforce, right? World's number one CRM provider. 11 years running. It's huge. We're talking, what, projected revenues over $37.8 billion, serving like 150,000 companies. Just massive scale.
Yeah.
But here's the kicker. And this is kind of wild. Recent research, this is from the Salesforce Implementation Best Practices Guide 2025. It shows that somewhere between 30 and, get this, 70% of Salesforce implementations still don't actually meet their strategic goals.
70%, that's right.
Right. So you invest in the best, theoretically, but there's this huge chance it just won't, you know, deliver what you hoped. Okay, so that's a bit of a head scratcher. Our mission today is really to unpack that. Why the disconnect? We're going to walk through the roadmap from that guide, try and give you, our listener, some solid research-backed ways to navigate this, you know, maximize that Salesforce ROI, and hopefully sidestep some of those really common traps.
And that paradox you laid out, that's exactly where we need to start. It really hits home why strategic implementation is so much more than just flicking a switch on the software. It's really about, well, deeply connecting Salesforce to your actual business outcomes. It's about genuinely optimizing how your teams work internally,
mm-hmm.
and crucially, making sure you can make decisions based on, you know, solid data.
Right, not just gut feelings.
Exactly. And the numbers for companies that manage this, they're pretty compelling. Think about a 44% jump in team productivity.
Wow.
A 37% boost in revenue. 17% higher sales quota attainment. And this one's amazing. Over $15 million saved just from having clean data.
So $15 million just from clean data.
Just from clean data practices. These aren't small changes. They genuinely reshape how a company performs. But, and this is the key point, these results don't just happen by themselves. I mean, it takes a whole strategy, right?
Yeah.
Covering the people, the processes, and the platform itself.
So yeah, definitely not just installing an app. It's much more foundational. Which takes us nicely to the first big step the guide talks about. Strategic planning and stakeholder alignment. And it really stresses moving past those vague goals like, oh, we want to improve our CRM. That's not enough, is it?
Not even close.
Yeah.
You need those SMART goals. Specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, time-bound. Everyone knows the acronym, but actually doing it is key.
Right.
Linking them directly to your business KPIs. Things like
maybe your lead to opportunity conversion rate.
Precisely. Or average sales cycle length. How long does it take to close a deal?
Customer satisfaction scores, maybe.
CZE.
Absolutely. Or even revenue per user. Things you can actually point to and say, Salesforce helped us move the needle here. Those are the results that matter. And, you know, it's hard to overstate the stakeholder part, or rather the lack of it. The research is pretty brutal here. Poor stakeholder engagement. Responsible for a staggering 70% of failed CRM projects.
70% again, just from that. Yeah. It's like trying to build a house, but, you know, half the crew doesn't show up. Or maybe they're even building something completely different in the other room.
Right. Total chaos.
Total chaos. So to avoid that, the guide is really clear. Build the right team first and set up solid governance. Your core team needs to cover all the bases. An executive sponsor, someone high up who really champions it.
Okay.
A dedicated Salesforce admin, obviously. A project manager keeping things on track. A business analyst translating needs. A change management lead, super important for the people side.
Yes.
And a data migration specialist. You need that expertise. And then the governance council. It sounds formal, maybe, but it's vital. It's how you get departments talking, how you manage changes properly, how you keep everyone pointing in the same direction strategically.
And that leads to real benefit.
Oh, yeah. Hmm. Better compliance, lower costs in the long run, and actually delivering things faster because you're not constantly fighting fires or going in circles.
Okay, so you've got the team. You've got the clear, measurable goals. Now we're moving into phase two. Choosing the right implementation methodology. This is the how, right? How you actually build this thing out. You've got options. There's waterfall, very structured, fixed scope. Good for maybe highly regulated industries.
Exactly. Like building a bridge, you need the plan locked down up front.
Then there's agile. More iterative, quick feedback loops. You can adapt as you go, kind of like constant sprints.
Yeah. More flexible response to change well.
But the guide mentions a third one, which sounds interesting. The hybrid approach, sometimes called Wagile.
Huh, yeah, Wagile. It sounds a bit funny, but it's actually pretty smart for Salesforce.
Yeah.
It basically blends the upfront planning of waterfall, getting that structure right, with the iterative sprints of Agile, so you get flexibility and predictability. The guide suggests it's often the best fit for Salesforce projects that need a bit of both. And whichever method you land on, there's this comprehensive 8-step Salesforce implementation roadmap. The guide details. Step one is discovery, basically digging deep. What are your current systems? What do you really need the business to achieve?
Okay, assessment.
Then design. Choosing the right Salesforce clouds, figuring out integrations, the user experience UX is huge, how people actually use it, and the overall architecture.
The blueprint.
Exactly. Then planning. Structuring the team, setting realistic timelines, figuring out risks and how to handle them. Then a really crucial one, customization. And the best practice here, prioritize configuration over custom code whenever you possibly can.
Why is that so important?
Well, every bit of custom code you write can become technical debt. It makes maintenance harder, upgrades more painful, more expensive down the line.
Future-proofing.
Precisely. Configuration uses Salesforce's built-in tools. Much easier to manage long-term. After that, rigorous testing. Unit tests, user acceptance testing, UAT, where your actual users sign off.
Making sure it works for them.
Yes. Plus, regression testing, performance testing. Got to be thorough. Then, training. Okay. Needs to be role-based, hands-on, and not just a one-off. It has to be ongoing.
Continuous learning.
Right. Deployment is next, focusing on minimizing disruption. Using things like CI/CD automation helps here.
CI/CD.
Continuous integration, continuous delivery. Automating how you release updates makes it faster, safer.
Like an assembly line for code.
Sort of, yeah.
Yeah.
And finally, optimization. This isn't the end. It's continuous monitoring of those KPIs, regular data cleanup, making ongoing improvements.
And you mentioned data cleanup there, which leads us right into phase three, data strategy and governance. Okay, let's unpack this because it sounds critical.
It absolutely is. Think of bad data, like quicksand under your shiny new Salesforce building. Not good at all. The whole thing sinks. So the guide lists key data migration best practices. First, you have to audit and cleanse your existing data. No shortcuts.
Gotta face the mess.
Gotta face the mess. Then, carefully map your old fields to the new Salesforce structure, the schema. Use sandboxes. Those are safe testing environments for trial runs of the migration. Don't do it live first time.
Practice runs make sense.
Then, after you migrate, validate it. Is it accurate? Maybe enrich it with more info. And document everything, how you mapped it, how you transformed it. But then, and this is just as vital, what happens after migration? You need ongoing data governance.
It's not just a one-time cleanup.
No way. The guide says you need specific rules. Things like data entry validation, stop bad data getting in, strict role-based access, who can see what, who can change what.
Security, yeah.
Duplicate management rules, regular audits and backups, and training your end users on data hygiene.
Why is this relentless focus so important?
Because clean data is everything. It powers accurate sales forecasts. It lets you segment your customers properly for marketing. And it's absolutely essential for compliance with rules like GDPR or IPEA.
Right, the legal side too.
Exactly. Without clean data, your whole Salesforce investment is, well, kind of running on fumes.
Okay, so clean data, great system configuration, but none of it matters if people don't actually use it, right?
Precisely. Which brings us to phase four, user adoption and change management. This is fundamental.
How do you get people on board?
The guide stresses training and communication. But not just any training. It has to be role specific.
Yeah.
Use blended learning, maybe short videos, live sessions, peer mentoring, different strokes for different folks.
Okay.
And provide ongoing support. Maybe have internal super users or champions who can help their colleagues.
The go-to people.
Exactly. But the communication part. This is subtle but key. Don't just tell people what's changing. You have to explain why it's changing and, crucially, how it benefits them. What's in it for them?
Ah, the YF.
That's the one. That gets you real buy-in, not just, you know, grudging compliance. And connecting this back, adoption isn't just something you hope for. You track it. You improve it.
How do you measure adoption?
The guide suggests looking at key metrics. How often are people logging in? Which features are they actually using? Are opportunity records being updated regularly? What's the volume of support tickets related to using it? You can even use surveys to gauge user satisfaction directly.
And Salesforce itself can help here.
Absolutely. Salesforce has built-in dashboards. You can use them to spot where adoption might be lagging, which teams or which features need more attention. Then you can tailor your support or training right where it's needed. Turns adoption into an actionable thing, not just a wish.
Makes sense. Okay, moving on to phase five, security, integrations, and testing. Let's hit security first. What are the must-dos?
The guide lists several core practices. Using permission sets is key for managing who can access what, especially at scale.
Scalable control.
Right. Enabling MFA multi-factor authentication. That second layer of security is just non-negotiable now.
Definitely.
Things like IP restrictions, session timeouts, using platform encryption for sensitive data fields, and regular audits, maybe quarterly, just to check access levels and ensure you're still compliant.
Constant vigilance.
Always. Cybersecurity isn't a project, it's a process. Now, the integration part, that's where it gets interesting. API strategy.
API, application programming interface.
Exactly. How Salesforce talks to your other systems. Salesforce has different APIs for different jobs. There's the REST API, good for lightweight, real-time stuff. SOAP API, more for structured, secure transactions. Bulk API, that's for moving huge amounts of data, like during migration. And the streaming API for reacting to events as they happen.
Different tools for different tasks.
You got it. The guide also mentions using middleware, like MuleSoft or Dellbumi, for more complex connections. And the crucial bit, document everything. How errors are handled, how data syncs up, what happens if something fails and needs to retry.
Details matter.
Hugely. And all this leads into testing excellence. Using full sandboxes for proper performance and regression tests. Implementing those CI/CD pipelines again for safer releases. Testing how it handles many users at once. User load. Testing on mobile. Testing those specific workflows for different roles.
So testing isn't just finding bugs.
No, it's about building confidence and resilience in the whole system, including the connections.
Okay, we're nearing the finish line of the implementation itself. Phase 6, go live planning and continuous optimization, the big day.
The big day. And you want it to go smoothly. The guide recommends deploying during low traffic hours, obviously.
Makes sense. Fewer people impacted if something hiccups.
Exactly. Have rollback plans ready. If things go really wrong, how do you revert? Have support resources on standby. Announce the timeline clearly, way in advance. Train your support staff specifically for go-live issues. And monitor things in real time using deployment dashboards as it happens.
Preparation is key.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But, and we keep coming back to this, launch day isn't the end. It's really just the start of the next phase.
Continuous optimization.
That's it. The guide even suggests a schedule. Maybe monthly updates, patch reviews, metadata cleanup. Quarterly security audits again, checking app updates, system performance, and then annually, bigger picture stuff, strategic platform reviews, getting user feedback systematically, and really evaluating your ROI. Did it deliver?
So it's like tending a garden, not just building a house.
That's a great analogy. You have to keep weeding, watering, pruning, making sure it thrives.
Okay, so that covers the best practices based on today's landscape. But you mentioned speed earlier. Traditional Salesforce rollouts can take months, right? Sometimes over a year. And the guide mentions in 2025, speed is strategy. So is there something coming that changes this, that genuinely speeds things up?
Well, this is where things get really potentially transformative. We're starting to see AI enter the picture in a much deeper way. The guide touches on this emerging area and specifically mentions a company, GetGenerative.ai. They're positioning themselves as the first AI-native Salesforce implementation partner.
AI-native, what does that mean exactly? Not just using AI tools.
Right. They claim it's AI built in from the ground up, not just bolted on. Their claim is 10x faster results.
10 times faster? That sounds ambitious.
It does. Healthy skepticism is always good with claims like that in enterprise tech. But the way they describe it is interesting. They talk about having 6 intelligent agents, AI agents, that automate big chunks of the project lifecycle.
Like what kind of agents?
Okay, so imagine a pre-sales agent. You feed it your business needs, it spits out solution blueprints, cost models, almost instantly.
Wow, okay.
Then a design agent generates user stories, suggests configurations, even maps out the solution architecture. A build agent creates the detailed implementation workbooks, the technical specs.
Automating the documentation, too.
Apparently. Then a code agent that takes those user stories and writes production-ready Apex and LWC code.
Actual code generation. Secure code.
That's the claim secure, production-grade code. Salesforce-specific code, Apex and Lightning Web components. Then a test agent that auto-generates test cases, runs them, even syncs the results back to tools like Jira.
Automating test.
And finally, a support agent that can monitor for issues after launch and even suggest or auto-generate fixes based on past problems.
That sounds like it could genuinely compress timelines if it works as described.
Exactly. It's not just making one step faster, it's potentially accelerating multiple traditionally time-consuming phases. It fundamentally challenges how we think about implementation speed.
Okay, so let's try and wrap this deep dive up. Implementing Salesforce, clearly a huge undertaking, a major strategic investment. But by applying these best practices we've discussed, the ones backed by research, things like solid planning, getting stakeholders truly involved, choosing the right methodology, nailing the data strategy, driving user adoption, focusing on security, and that commitment to continuous improvement, you can seriously boost your odds of success, right? Avoid being in that scary 30-70% failure statistic.
Absolutely. It's about setting yourself up for a system that actually helps you grow, helps you connect better with customers, and makes your operations run smoother. So what does this all mean for you listening in? Well, the guide's main message is clear. Salesforce success isn't a one-and-done project. It's a journey. It requires ongoing optimization, ongoing adaptation. And maybe a final thought to leave you with, building on the AI discussion. Given how fast AI-native implementation seems to be developing, and knowing that continuous optimization is always needed, how might our very definition of best practices change in the next few years? What will best even look like when AI is potentially embedded in every single step of the process? That's something to really think about.